I want to tell you a story before I get to part of what will be the message tonight. In May of 1985, the Lord was dealing with me on writing a message about the spirit of Python and how it operated. And I said, okay, I'll do it. Have you ever had one of those conversations with the Lord where you told him you'd do something and then you just kept doing what you were doing? So finally I said, okay, Lord, tonight I will do it. It was a Friday night. It was a beautiful night. We were living up on Edgemere Drive on the lake. Why I chose a Friday night to say, Lord, I will do it. And as I was leaving work in beautiful weather, got in my bright blue, a little bit brighter than this shirt, Bronco 2, and began driving and pulled out to head north. Some little sports car hit the side of my car, right in the driver's door, turned it 90 degrees and rolled it onto the roof, and I was hanging upside down. Long story short, I didn't get a scratch until the ambulance drivers bumped my head on the ambulance. I called Casey from the emergency room, said, I'm fine, but I need a ride home. The steering wheel and the roof were that far apart. When she looked at it the next day, she thought I had been telling her a tall tale. It was 9 inches between them. I did write that thing. Well, this past Sunday, I was typing up a bunch of notes, and it was going to be my message tonight. The title of it is Deliverance Issues for 5775 and Beyond. This week, all hell broke loose. I apologize to those of you who caught some of the spam that was released on my account, from my account, and for the defilement of the world. I'll speak about that later. That happened on Tuesday, and that happened again today. I don't know why the enemy doesn't realize that the Bible says he's already defeated, and this is a year and a month to have him under our heels. For those of you who wondered, I've had peace beyond. If that had happened in 1985, if what happened this week had happened in 85, so 29 years ago, it would have been a horrendous week. But I've been in that place that he said we would be in if we would press into him this year. I've been in a place of peace that is truly amazing. Thank you for those of you who took up the sword of the pen and wrote on my behalf. I have not, and I will not. So in Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the people who needed to hear this have just left. Judges 3, 1 and 2 said that the Lord left some enemies in the land so that those who did not know war would learn how to war. We are in a season where the generations must know how to war. They need to know how to stand, because there's been a lot of spiritual warfare going on in our generation that have prepared the way for people to enter into the presence of the Lord like never before. In case I don't get there, here's what's happening in creation. And I'm going to use the simple three-dimensional model, not the one I think it really is. So have you ever seen the cartoons where they just step through into another dimension? Well, heaven is that close to you. Heaven is literally that close to us. It's not some eons and eons and light years away. But if you look at the first heaven, that's the air we breathe. If you look at the second heaven, that's where Lucifer and his angels were cast to. And the third heaven is where Father reigns. And what has been happening in the last centuries and accelerated in the past 5 years is heaven is pressing toward earth. Did you ever make a fluffernutter sandwich when you were little?
Yeah.
A bunch of fluffernut and some peanut butter between two slices of bread. Or you make yourself a cucumber sandwich with lots of mayonnaise, and when you press it together, the mayonnaise squirts out. Well, that's what's happening as heaven presses closer to earth. Darkness has to go someplace. It's invading the earth. That's one of the reasons why we're having so much more increased, more powerful angelic presence in the earth realm, is because heaven is pressing closer to earth. We're closer now to the second coming of Christ than we were 2,000 years ago. Everyone agree with that? Okay, we're 2 days closer in God's time. The third day, we believe, is the day he's coming. A day in the life of the Lord is 1,000 years, so it could be in the next millisecond, or it could be in the next 986 years. But it will happen sometime in the third day, according to Scripture. But God knows when that is, and that's his business, not ours. Our business is to make earth look like heaven, so he wants to do it sooner. So as he's squeezing closer to earth, darkness is permeating more. That's why we've been teaching you that as soon as darkness comes into your presence, you have all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. Those are Jesus' words to whoever believes in him. Well, that means that things are getting riled up, and this next generation is going to face bigger giants than we've ever faced. And they need to be prepared for that. See, there's issues that we've all been dealing with, and there's issues that the Lord's been dealing with in our lives, and he wants to align those issues correctly. Meaning I have to get in right standing with his word with every issue in my life. Getting my issues aligned correctly is a deliverance issue. Getting your issues aligned correctly is a deliverance issue. See, this generation doesn't know the intellectual aspects that are linked with the demonic structures that they face. Do you know what the icons are on your computers? Do you know what an icon is? It's the Greek word idolicon, idol. We need our computers. I'm not speaking against computers. But there is an intellectual structure that is pervaded. Do you think this surprises God? He said through the minor prophet that the end time battle is between your sons, O Greece, the human mindset, and your sons, O Israel, those that have the Hebraic heart of God. That's the end time battle. There is behind the demonic onslaught that's going to hit this next generation. That's why we need to be training them in warfare. That's why we need to be taking them on missions trips, whether it's to the city or whether it's to other countries, so that they can be prepared to war for their generation. This is a time in which we need to be asking the Lord for our next portion of authority. Do you want more authority? Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You know who's trying to take your authority? The one that's already supposed to be under our heel. See, inheritance means my portion. That's what inheritance means. When you go someplace and Grand Aunt Tilly left a will and it says your inheritance is this, that's your portion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're told that Satan tries to put his upper hand over the wall into your portion that you've been given to steward. See, when Aunt Tilly gave it to you, it's now yours in the eyes of God to steward for his glory. either reinvest it and make it grow or do whatever the Lord shows you to do with it. But the enemy's going to try and come over the wall and put his hand into your portion, your inheritance. That's what he's always been doing. And he's always been trying to take the seed, the next generation, and cut it off. So what we have to do is we have to develop a new identity or a new mantle for the future. The Lord at Rosh Hashanah began releasing new mantles. There's things that he's been speaking into the hearts of his sons and daughters around the earth that he's releasing and that he began releasing a month and a half ago at Rosh Hashanah. The Hebrew word for future means expected end. We think future just means someplace it's out there, and if we live long enough, we might see some of it. But the Hebrews knew that it meant there's an expected end. My future is an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I've given you a expected end and a hope, a future and a hope. Keep talking. So, there's... there's a new identity on the horizon for you. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures tonight, but we're not going to look at them. You can. Isaiah 4, verse 1, and Zechariah chapter 4. There's a new horizon, a new identity on your horizon. What does that mean? It means that you can change your mind, first of all. In Luke chapter 5, the dudes were out fishing. They'd fished all night, and they came back in. And Jesus used their boats to speak a message. Wasn't that nice of him? Would you like Jesus to use your boat to speak a message? I would. The residual has to be tremendous. Well, here was the residual for them. He said, go back out. But. We fished all night and didn't catch anything. Well, Luke 5, 1 through 10 says, they went back out in obedience. So if you want to change your mind, you've got to do it in obedience to what he's asking you to do. And they caught such a great catch that others had to come and help them, and it was so much that their nets began to break. Well, when you move into the new, you have to bind the enemy. The enemy will not remove your faith. He will try to make it empty. That's what he does. He can't remove your faith, but he tries to make it empty. So what did Jesus say? If you want to rob and plunder the strong man, you first have to bind him. So as you approach your horizon for your new identity, you have to bind the strong man. Let me tell you, there are going to be bigger giants. I think part of the reason why these attacks came this week is because we just came back from dealing with high levels of witchcraft that were binding an entire state in western Nigeria. Do you think the enemy just has his foot on one continent? My Bible says that the whole world is in the palm of his hand. And my name is inscribed, and so is yours. So every time he waves it, he says, I've cut covenant with these folks. You touch them, you're dealing with me. We don't have to fight this battle other than standing and not letting the enemy make our faith empty. We have to counteract faith destroyers as we move forward. See, faith destroyers are slavery strategies. Well, I don't have enough. If your father has the 1,000 hills that have all the cattle and all the resources that are under the 1,000 hills, that's a slavery strategy. I don't have enough. Well, I don't know enough people. Well, I, slavery strategies. We have to leave behind the past cycle of fear that we walked in. too many of us are embracing a cycle of fear from the past. That's part of what we forget the disappointments. It's part of what this month is all about. Because I failed doesn't mean I'm a failure. Abraham Lincoln only won one election in his life, president. Was he a failure? No. If he had been bound by the past cycles of fear, fear of failure is a fear, he never would have pressed into what his destiny was. Then we have to make sure that all of our relationships are reconciled and in order. That means that if I have aught with any, I have to go to them first, privately, by myself, and resolve it. If that doesn't happen, then I take a leader with me, and they take a leader with them, and we resolve it. Matthew 18. That's the process. If that doesn't happen, then we take one that's in authority in the mountain that we're dealing with. If it's the church, it's in the church and religion mountain. If it's in business, it's someone that's an authority in that business mountain. By the way, unless I am walking, and I do walk in the business mountain, I have no authority in the business mountain. Most pastors who have never been in the business mountain have not one ounce of authority in the business mountain, except when they are invited in by a business person to pray with them. If it's in the media mountain, then that person has to go to someone in authority in the media mountain. I'm hoping you're seeing that this is not just tied to church. Then we need to expect an amazing turn of events in our life. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So as the Holy Spirit begins to show you what this new identity is, don't keep doing the same old, and expecting God to show up and make it look different. He probably already said, I stopped doing that. And for most of us, it was probably before we were born. But we were taught that's the way to do things, and so we kept on doing it. Don't have time to give you stories, but I got a lot of them. You got to begin to believe that you have the power to break whirlwinds. I have seen storms change because we stood and commanded them to change. I've seen fires stop, raging forest fires stop, because we stood in agreement and said, this is the boundary, you can't cross it. Do you think God honors that? I know he does. He's looking for a few foolish Christians to be fueled with faith to do what he's asked us to do. Believe Dad at his word. That's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to be little Christ, his ambassadors, doing what he does, saying what he says. And then once you cross over, keep crossing over and receiving. I've seen people cross over into victory and then settle down and start to build a structure. And God didn't say settle. And they start building a little religious structure and celebrating that victory, and they stop short of the fullness of what their destiny should have been. Because they listened to an idol called religion and stopped. We have to keep reforming in his image and likeness. Isn't that how you were created, in the image and likeness of God? We have to keep reforming. He ain't done with me yet. Sorry, Lisa. He's not finished with us. He wants to reform us every time we step forward so that vessel he's making can carry the glory that's meant to be carried in this hour. Not yesterday's glory, not 10 years from now is glory, but the glory he wants to pour out now, because we're not ready for the glory for 10 years from now. And then we need to declare, like we see in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that the Spirit of God will cause me to fear and to overcome. I need to have The sevenfold Spirit of God out of Isaiah 11:2, the seventh being the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, so powerfully that when he says something, I will do it. If he says to do this, which he just did to my ears, not yours, I will do that, no matter where it is, no matter how foolish it looks. Because when he says to do that thing, he's going to give you the ability to overcome. And everything that Jesus said to the seven churches, those who hear, those who have ears to hear, and those who overcome will receive the blessing. How many of you want the blessings? See, it's the overcomer anointing that he's putting on us. And we have to declare that the Spirit of God will cause me to fear and overcome. Now, like we talked about last year in the year of Ian Dallet, the door that's ahead of us, and it's going to take 2 years to get to that door, we'll have a strong wind of contention over it. We tasted a little bit of that this week. Last Friday night, we had the first gathering of apostolic leaders in the region to celebrate first fruits. Was it perfect? No. I had to set aside my agenda to go. Right? I had three people come up to me and say, I'm surprised to see you here. I see what the Lord wants to do in this region. No one expression of the body of Christ can do it. I've seen it since 1984. Actually, it was a year ago. It was 25 years ago last month, or whatever 84 was, 30 years ago last month, when I came up here on a business trip. I saw what others have said over this region, that there's a glory he wants to release, but the kids aren't playing according to Father's plan. Do you know what I mean when I say that? We're playing church. We're not talking about kingdom. Jesus said, I will build my church. So why are we trying to do what he said he'd do? You are the church. See, when Holy Spirit said that this was the time where the word was going to become activated and come alive, he meant it. We are in a time where we can speak the words powerfully. About 15 years ago, I began prophesying about the apostolic anointing that was coming. And it would be called the Ananias and Sapphira anointing. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the Holy Spirit and they fell over dead. And people said, well, why would God do that? And I said, because there's going to be such a dividing line of holiness that those who are walking with God are holy. It means they're set apart. That's what it means when he's holy. He's set apart from every sort of sin. He couldn't even look on Jesus when Jesus took your and my sin upon himself. And because of that holiness, those who are going to play games and call themselves holy and try to deceive the elect, I don't want to be in their shoes. Because they're going to expire before their time. I'm not saying that they're not going to go to heaven. That's his decision, not mine. I believe Ananias and Sapphira were saved. But I believe that they stopped short in their sanctification. So as the word comes alive again, there's two ways that you're going to begin to discern things. The first is by the word. We discern by the word. That means I've got to be in the word. I had someone talk with us the other day and said, well, I'm having a real hard time getting in the word. Used to be in it all the time, but I'm having a hard time. And we suggested that they set some type of player, CD, cassette, DVD, whatever, that will play the word when their alarm is supposed to go off, 30 minutes before. So that the word will be spoken over them, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. so that when the alarm goes off, they've already been saturated in it and they're not so overwhelmed by the sleep that they can at least spend a few minutes reading the Word. See, we need to let the Word, the Lord, stir up the Word in us again. That's why I read out loud to myself every day. I've been doing it for decades because I'm such a simple person. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Ask the Lord to stir up the Word that's in you. If the only word you have is Jesus wept, ask Him to stir it up. He will. There's nothing the matter with that scripture. It expresses a character of Jesus. There's word that's stored up deep down in your bone structure. Your bone structure is what makes your blood. Where's the life? In the blood. As soon as bones are made in the womb, there's new blood being formed in the womb. It happens early on. See, you've got to let God stir up the word that's in you so that you can begin to prophesy in a new way. All of us can prophesy. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. But He wants you to begin to speak His word over the structures that are opposing your new identity. And so we discern by hearing the word. And when the Lord speaks a word to us, guess what? That's probably the word we're supposed to speak. I would have people come into my office, whether it was in Tennessee or Rochester or different plant sites around the world, and I had been praying in the morning asking the Lord to give me words. And He would give me words out of His scripture that I had no idea why He was giving them to me. And people would come in and they would ask me a question or they'd have a problem, and it would be the exact thing that He gave me. Because you are faithful to store it up, He will be faithful to bring the person that needs it. The second way that we discern is by the Spirit. See, the Word will move in such a way that you have thoughts. Those thoughts are pipelines to revelation. As heaven presses closer to earth, you are closer to the throne of glory than you realize. As we worship tonight, the Lord came into the room. You want to tell Him what you experienced? Yes or no?
As I was flagging, when I'm flagging, I go to a different place. So I don't see who's here. I'm seeing what the Lord is showing me. And as we stopped, as I came back over here, the Lord just came down so hard I couldn't even breathe. There was just something that within me that responded with tears, but it was the presence of God, and it was like He had just gone like this around me, and I was undone.
He wants to give us revelation of who He is, pipelines of revelation. That's what we ascend in worship for, so that we can come to that place that you see in Revelation chapter 4, an open door, and hear the voice saying, come up, Pierce. He wants to give us strategies. If you are working anywhere in the world, you need strategies, especially if you're an entrepreneur. See, the whirlwind of heaven's purpose is to unlock revelation in you. I talked about that a couple weeks ago or a month ago when we first talked about the year of Ion Hay. Job 38, Elihu saw the whirlwind and was frightened, but Job 38 through 41, Job saw the whirlwind of heaven and had such revelations of the magnitude and the beauty and the awe of God. That's what He wants to do with the whirlwind of heaven. That's what He was speaking over us tonight. If we'll press through the place of fear and come into His presence, we'll have what we need. There's a new baptism of power that's being released on the body of Christ. I'm excited because I'm seeing it pour over into my grandchildren's generation. It's going to be powerful in their generation. That doesn't mean it's not going to be powerful in ours or in our kids' generation. So we have to watch for unusual miracles and happenings. By the way, I need more of these. Since 1985, we've been sending these all over the world, and people have been being healed, set free, cancers, tumors, leukemias, brain injuries. God said it. That's what Acts 19 is all about. They took the aprons and the handkerchiefs from the apostles and sent them out, carried them away, and the sick were healed and demons were cast out. The anointing is nothing special about any individual person. We were foolish enough to believe that God would do it, and he was faithful enough to do it. That baptism of power is going to bring a new wave of evangelism. That's what Philip was all about. He did signs, wonders, and exploits, as did all of his daughters. So I'm going to end with this tonight, and maybe we'll pick this back up the next time I talk. There's three wars that we face in every new season that we enter into. We've entered into a new season. The first war is the war with poverty. It's a war with mammon. If you try to make friends with the mammon structures around you, they will consume you. Mammon is Baal's treasurer. That means that you have to consort with Baal if you're going to be friends with mammon. The war of poverty is real. We are called, Christians are called, to break the hold of poverty. We have an old message out on that from probably 6 or 7 years ago on the unholy trinity of poverty, fear, and religion. The second war is with religion. Religion is using methods from one season trying to move forward into the next season. See, the interpretation of the tongue tonight is that there's a river, and many of us think that that river is flowing straight. Have you ever seen the Niagara River from the air? Do you think it's a straight pipeline that's rushing toward the falls so that they can drop down into Lake Ontario? It looks like a snake ready to strike, all coiled up. It just flows for whatever reason in many counter directions back and forth. Most rivers wound around something to take the path of least resistance. But that's what religion does. It tries to take us to take this method, and that's nothing against the Methodists, but they had a method, and they're still using the same method that the Wesleys used, except that now they have a modern service, contemporary service, and a traditional service. But it's the same method that they're using in both services. The music's just different. What happens when the Holy Spirit moved in is what happened in Rochester in the 1840s after the 1830s Finney Revival, was the river moved and we set up a bunch of religious traditions on how to do it. The spirit of man got in the way, the human spirit got in the way, and Holy Spirit went away. That's what happens when we get into a war with religion. We have to be looking for what Holy Spirit is doing. We're coming into a new method of demonstration and manifestations. So if we think it's always going to be an altar call at the end, you know that we don't always have an altar call at the end. Sometimes you are the altar call. Sometimes what you got here is for the altar call you're going to have this week out there. Be expecting Holy Spirit to do something through you, even if it's just a word of encouragement. In 2 Corinthians, we're told to watch out for the wisdom of this age. See, that's part of that intelligence that our next generations need to be careful they don't get caught up in. Because my generation got waylaid by it. The wisdom of this age in my generation was, if you want to serve the Lord, you go to Bible college. You don't go to law school. You don't go to become a teacher. You don't go to become a dancer. You don't go to become a baseball player. You go to Bible school or seminary. And so we abandoned all of the other six mountains to darkness. And 50 years later, we're trying to recover them. I know we will be successful. And the third war we always fight is infirmity. Do you ever wonder why when you enter in a new season, you get a new series of attacks coming against you? Yeah, that's accelerating the healing. That's how the enemy fights. See, your promised destiny is coming into reality, and it is always linked with time and space. Isn't that what we live in? We live in time and we live in space. My promised destiny has to come into this reality. Yes, I know that eventually I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord. I don't think many of us knew what we were singing when we said, I have a destiny, I know it will be fulfilled. I know I will fulfill. Remember that song from 20 years ago? Have you opened a door for iniquity? That's what happened in Genesis chapter 4. Every U.S. state has an iniquitous throne. Every one of the 50 states has an iniquitous throne in it. That is part of what the intercessors are doing around the country. No, they're not on the national news. No, you're not seeing it up front. And no, you don't often hear about it until after things have broken and things start to change. But we need to start looking for places where deliverance has been refused because of iniquities. That's what we did in the city this summer, on both sides of the river. Because deliverance had been refused because we denied Martin Luther King Jr., God's man, with God's plan of love and peace to try and reconcile the races. We are in a time where the spiritual warfare is going to increase, and we're going to see it manifest in manifestations in the earth.